and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salbin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, And that over there is the real Pete LePage.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Except no substitutes. There's no fake Pete LePages here. Mm-hmm. Just the real one. In case you didn't hear the news, this was in, I think, New York Times.
I believe it was trending.
CNN.
Yeah, CNN.
Pete LePage is now on Twitter. You can follow him at... Is it the real Pete LePage?
No, that wouldn't fit. It's real,
real Pete LePage.
Wait, is that how many fake Pete LePages are there out there?
There's apparently a lot. It took me a while to get a handle that would work.
Holy shit.
I'm not going to say how long I toiled over it, but it was a while.
What were the other options?
What's that?
What were the other options?
There wasn't much.
Doo-doo head.
Murder Pete LePage.
Yeah. Punisher love.
Murder Justin Tyler.
Yeah.
Claw fan. 86.
The reason I broke down and joined was...
And cried.
I was at my job, and someone, Pete LePaged me into joining. So what that means is...
Did they Pete LePage you, or did they real Pete LePage you?
Yeah, they real Pete LePage.
Oh, okay.
I don't like saying my name this much. Anyways, so what happened was...
Yeah, it is really branding. Petering out.
We got to turn LePage on this bit.
Okay. Anyways, I was helping this person set up their electronic device, and they were talking about how much they
at
were...
At your job.
At my job.
Which is not to be specified.
That's correct.
Right. And an electronic device.
Yeah, so...
You're setting a VCR time.
Exactly. I was helping this older lady set up her device, and she was talking about how excited she was about Twitter. And I was like, wait, you're on Twitter? And she was like, yeah, you're not. I was like, no. She was like, what are you, some kind of asshole?
Wow.
And that got to me.
Oh, and that's when you slapped her in the face.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And her Twitter handle is Pete LePage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you couldn't take that.
Yeah, I couldn't take that.
Cool. There you go. So we're all on Twitter now.
Yeah.
The other big announcement, starting next week, we're going to move the show out to Twitter. So that should be a lot of fun. Oh, my God. I could do it when I'm basically asleep, covered in chips, and barely naked.
Excuse me? Barely naked?
Apparently.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show. He is newly back to New York and newly coming back to the show. He is the author of super graphic and awesome book that we're about to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Leong!
Yeah! Welcome, sir. Please have a seat. Welcome to the show.
Please.
Watch your step. There you go. Thank you.
That's great.
Great to have.
We like to create a little bit of a maze for our guests.
Thank you.
So, Tim, first of all, you have been on the West Coast for a couple of years, I think.
3 years.
Yeah, the last time we saw you on the show was when Comic Foundry closed out.
Right? Closed down.
Closed down. Closed up shop.
Just another factory closed down.
You and Laura Hudson went, closed, took one last look, and then turned off the light switch.
We did. And then I left, and I went to work at Wired Magazine.
Okay.
And then about a year ago, Wired hired Laura Hudson.
Oh, and then she nice forced you out.
She did. Yeah. There was a coup.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when you were making the move, we were just talking about this a little bit before, you were still collecting print comics at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now you've had to give them up because
of the move. Well, okay, so I wouldn't say collect, but read.
Right, right.
Yeah. And read and not destroy.
What?
Like, you save them.
Yes.
You save them.
Thank you.
You put them in a container or something. Oh,
I read my stack next to a burning fire every day.
Awesome.
I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Exactly.
As soon as you're done.
No, I read mine, then throw them into the ocean.
Do you?
Back to where whence they came.
Catch and release.
Exactly. Nice. It's so hard to catch a good-sized comic, and they're full of mercury.
Well, don't get me started on that. And the environment.
Yeah. Oh.
So
the comic was this.
Tim, you've had to switch over to digital because you're back in New York, right?
Well, yeah. So I lived in New York and lived in San Francisco, and now back in New York. And when I moved, I had to get rid of just a ton of comics because, as we all know, they don't fit in their spaces.
They don't fit anywhere.
It can eat you alive.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I'm going to die underneath a collapsed stack of comics.
So what's that been like, switching over to digital? Have you been
good?
Making...
Well, I buy digital-only singles.
Okay.
And then trades and graphic novels.
Oh, okay. Why is that important for you?
The singles, I don't know what to do with. If I had, there was like a good filing system other than short boxes that just stack up, mm-hmm. that are just impossible to go back into later,
yep.
I might get those. It's also easier to buy them. You just do it on the iPad. You can also go to the store.
Like a, you press like a button.
Something
right.
like that.
And then they come right into your mailbox.
Yeah. The real Pete LePage, does she know how to do that?
Yep.
Now that you're cool. really, you're yeah. sort of in the Matrix in a way. Like now.
When I was moving, I was going to take them to the bookstore and try to sell them back. And
right, right.
But that just seemed like, at most, you get a couple bucks for them. It's like, that's not really worth it. So I just put it on Craigslist. It was like, I've got some comics. And who wants some comics for free?
I've got some comics.
Come get that. Like you could have them.
How many,
have to come
how many
get them and take
sexual
them
responses did you get?
Well, I got three really fast responses, and they were all incredibly enthusiastic. And the first, I was trying to get rid of like two or three short boxes of comics. And they're good comics, too. And some guys responded immediately, took them. And then two other people responded. It was like, oh, but they were incredibly enthusiastic, which was pretty awesome. Like, you want to give them away to someone that's really excited about comics.
Yeah.
It was like, this is great. I'm sorry, they're gone. But I have, like, an armload of graphic novels. Do you want those for free? And the graphic novels are actually quite better than the comics. So, do you want those? They're like, nah, I only read comics.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is, I've never even heard of that.
I didn't know what to make of it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of another thing that's crazy, you guys.
Oh, great.
Nice. Terrible segue. Tim, let's talk about your book, Super Graphic, which just came out.
Yes.
So that's a collection of infographics and other assorted sundry things. What's it about?
Well, like you said, it's a book of infographics and charts and data visualizations about comic books. It's a niche inside of a niche inside of a basement.
You're the guy. You're the comic book super graphic guy. There's no you have
what,
no
what
other,
does that mean?
Like it's a niche inside a niche inside a niche. You're at the farthest tip.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's a Venn diagram of just
yeah.
him.
Yeah, I'm
exactly.
in. Yeah, I'm cool. in the middle. And
I don't know if that's true though. I think lots of people are constantly picking apart comics and talking about the nuances of comics. So I feel like it makes a lot of sense to break them down into
Well, you know, to think about it, so comics have been around for quite a long time.
Sure. At least 5 years.
At least one hand's worth. And the history of them is just so complicated and intricate, and the characters are so obscure, and, you know, they've had creators upon creators, and it's just really hard to keep all that continuity straight and the facts and the storylines. And so, you know, comics can be a very difficult thing to get into as a new reader.
Right. Awesome. Or try to explain to somebody, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to try to explain some of those really complicated concepts in a simple way and have it kind of be as a primer.
Can you give an example of your favorite infographic for the book?
I think one of my favorites is it's – and this is also speaks to the beauty of infographics, where you put things together in ways that you don't expect, and you kind of see things you see every day, but in a new way. Mm-hmm. So one of them is breaking down superhero costumes, and the point being that superhero costumes are mostly, for the most part, in primary colors.
Yeah.
And then when you kind of put them all together, you can really see that. So you put Superman's costume next to Captain America, and you kind of go down the line, and you can see how everyone's costumes
have all these... Yeah, no one's wearing earth tones. No one's toning it up.
Or pastels, for that
matter. Or pastels, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, think of the fear you would strike into the heart of a criminal if you show up in a nice, like, turquoise.
What did you...
Turquoise?
I don't think that's how you say that. I don't think so. So when you're approaching something like this, did you start with the ideas for the infographics first and then call the information from there? Or how did you come
about
it?
Or did it come to you in a dream? Or after
nightmare.
You hit your head on something.
Yeah. On the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's how you came up with your flux capacitor.
Yeah.
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 Shut up, booth bad.
Bah! W.C. Fields over there.
It was a mixture. It was a mixture. Some of them was like, I had a, like, oh, would it be great if I show how many people died in The Walking Dead each issue and if they were killed by a human or a zombie? Wouldn't that be a great chart? And then you do the research and you make the chart. Cool. Sometimes the grand concepts don't actually work. like the theory doesn't hold true, or it's impossible. I wasn't able to do the research for it, or like there wasn't the data there. And so sometimes that would work, and sometimes I would find a data set and then try to make like a reverse engineer a chart out of that.
So how'd you do the research? I mean, was it from your long boxes that you just got rid of, so now you cannot do the sequel to this book?
Wow, interesting. Yeah.
Some of them were like utilizing the info on like back of trading cards. Mm-hmm. Marvel.com actually has a great Wikia resource of a lot of characters and their powers and histories and names and rankings and that sort of team affiliations, that sort of thing.
Right.
And then looking, trying to find maps and source books, handbooks, official handbook of the Marvel Universe. Just going back through history and just trying to find great source material for that.
Cool. What's cool is when I found out you were going to be on the show, it made me immediately think of like when Wolverine and the X-Men first kind of like split from the X-Men, there was like a cool little diagram of showing, splitting up the team and showing who's on whose side.
Yeah.
And that was like a good like first page to kind of set things up.
Yeah, and that's actually, I stole that data wholeheartedly. And
nice.
That is one of the pages in the book and breaks down, it's like cool. The class structure of the school, like headmaster, the classes they teach.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
That was you.
Well, I stole it from them.
You stole it.
I cited it.
Do you think you could do...
another word for
yeah.
stole.
Yeah.
I cited someone's wallet the other day. Yeah.
Do you think you could do an entire comic that was nothing but infographics?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Well, would you say that...
Absolutely. Well, no. Not a chance.
I think you could do one entirely as infographics just as easily as you could do one entirely as pictograms, a la Pizza Dog.
There you go.
Pizza dog.
Pizza dog.
Is
a
dog.
Pizza dog.
Read a book.
Yeah.
Booth bad.
Get involved in this.
Pay attention.
Go to the library for what's pizza dog. Yeah. What's pizza
or
dog?
Just don't read a regular book.
Come on.
Read a comic book.
Yeah, read a comic book that we talk about on this show.
Literally this one.
Yes, there you go. Where can people get the book, Tim?
You can get it at your local bookseller, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ChronicleBooks.com, and Urban Outfitters.
Ooh,
cool!
Nice.
So you can pick up some nice pastels or earth tones yeah. while you're going and getting the books.
Exactly.
That's so
great.
Many pastels by, at
by
Urban.
By the way, your website is ridiculous.
Thank you so much. Oh, you were looking at Tim.
Yeah,
oh,
Tim.
Which website and how is it ridiculous?
Yourname.com.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I went on that before the show, and I was like, holy shit, this guy has done a lot.
Well, he's never been on any website, yeah. So he doesn't
all
know
of a sudden.
Wait till you check
Twitter.
Out my Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's going to blow your mind.
Yeah, I'll probably make me stop. I'll just be like, I can't compete with this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Twitter's not about competition.
Oh.
No? There we go. Check out Super Graphic in stores now. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some books that we particularly like this week, starting with Pete's pick. This is Burn the Orphanage, Born to Lose, 1 of 3. This is by Sina Grace, and wait, I've got to look up the name of the other guy. Daniel Friedman is the co-writer, John Roush is the colorist, and Roose Wooten is the letterer. So, Pete, you want to talk about this book a little
yeah.
bit?
Yeah. So, guys, picture, if you will, if you could read the... The
if you can read
in a world where you can
Double Dragon the comic book,
so it's like playing a fun game without the play.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like reading it, and they're just it's not really a lot of words. It's a lot of fighting for no particular reason, and it had that kind of like 80s fun feel, you know, to it.
Yeah, I would have liked to read Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, interesting.
He punched. Scorpion punched harder than he had ever punched before.
Oh, that's
he punched and punched.
Yeah. Get over
Dr.
here.
Dr. Seuss writes that, I believe.
Maybe. Dr. Seuss's Mortal Kombat.
Get over here, my dear.
What did you think about this book, Justin?
I think Pete is speaking correctly. This is like Double Dragon, or more like Final Fight, or another. Any sort
Final
of,
Fight was awesome.
Yeah, okay. I know.
You brought
where,
it up, Justin.
Yeah, I know. Or any of those fighting games.
Right.
Bad Dudes? Let's
nope.
see how many we can name.
No. Battle Toads?
Nope, not like that at all.
River City Ransom.
River City Ransom, yes. That's
Boy and His Blob?
Okay, you're a dork. Paper that's not a. That's a jelly
Kid
bean.
Streets of Rage.
What was the hardest edged game? A Boy in His Blob, you think?
Yeah, the one with the jelly beans.
Where you throw a jelly bean
at a blob and he turns it to a ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Like read a book, booth man.
It is a great
game. Come on.
Anyway, so this is like seeing it play out. And the main character's trying to like track down this dude that burned down his orphanage.
Right.
Yep.
And sometimes you got to fight your way to the top.
And there's
the
orphanage.
Yeah, this is totally fun. It seems mildly influenced by Scott Pilgrim and books like that, I think, just because there are video game tropes in comics. It doesn't mean that Brian Lee O'Malley has...
Yeah, it's not
soul
like he, yeah, exactly. I mean, other people can
that.
Do stuff.
He's just
but
citing Brian
I actually wish it would go for it a little bit more. I think I wish it would go for the video game-ness because when it hits it, it's great.
Yeah.
This is the first part of a trilogy, though, so I'm really looking forward to where they take it next.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully more in, like, the Boy of the Blob direction.
Yeah, definitely
direction.
Get into the other more.
Thank
like,
you.
The,
we got the
Kong,
Vanna White over here
Donkey
of the show. It's very nice
that's
of the way
you're very nice.
Yeah, would you guys like to read a comic based on Dr. Mario? Because I think that would be great.
Dr. Mario?
Paperboy, yes. Dr. Mario, no.
Dr. Mario is maybe my favorite Nintendo game.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
It was
really?
Better in Tetris.
I played that for... at certain points, I would close my eyes, and I would still see the pills falling in my brain.
Yeah, same way with me for a Boy in His Blob. Let's move on with Justin.
I like to consider myself your blob.
Wow.
I'm going to throw you jelly beans later so hard, and you're going to turn it to my ladder,
I mean,
baby.
I'm the jelly beans in this?
Each one of these, yeah. Old jelly beans look pick.
I don't even know what that means. All New X-Men, number 15. That is Justin's pick.
From my
pick.
One person clapping.
There
you go.
It.
So, Justin, talk about this book.
So, for those of you that don't know, the original X-Men have been brought to the present. Mm. This is Brian Bendis writing this book. And
brought to a present.
Yeah. Bendis impression?
Yes, yeah. I'm Brian Malcolm Bendis. Is it still Christmas morning?
And they this is a sort of a young romance issue where everyone's
you
in love.
You love that stuff.
I love that stuff. There's just the story's great. Slight spoiler. Jean Grey has sort of been finding out about Cyclops and decides that he's a bad person, so their romance is stopped.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's always been a bad person, Jean Grey.
Just to interrupt, I don't know if she decides that her boyfriend from the past and husband of the future is a bad person so much as she doesn't know if she's in love with him.
Yeah.
Well, but I think it's based on all the revelations of
his
actions.
Right, just because you don't love somebody doesn't make them bad.
Well, then you don't know anyone in my life. No. That's sort of true, but I think that the bad things he did in his life are what brought her to that decision. And it's obviously going to have ramifications. But in this, she hears from adult Beast's brain that young Beast, like, loved her. Mm-hmm. And she tracks young Beast down, and they have a little sesh.
And I think we were talking before the show.
Heavy petting sesh.
They smooch.
We were talking about before the show. That's kind of like that's like a fantasy, right? You
kissing
like,
Beast?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Kissing Beast. No, I'm saying that, like... You know, if you had a crush on somebody, but not the...
Which beast would you want to kiss?
No, I'm not playing this
blue
game.
Blue furry? Or weirder
blue
furry?
I thought you were talking about just general beasts, like a Medusa or a
Minotaur. But having a crush on somebody, then finding out not having to make that leap to be like, oh, my God, I'm in love with you.
So your fantasy is not doing any work.
Yeah, exactly. Having somebody find out that you're in love...
To call it work is a little weird, too. Yeah. Asking a girl out shouldn't be work.
I don't know. It's a lot of work for me.
Yeah, you did
time it, to go to work.
You did it that one time, and then you married her.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, it worked.
Yeah.
I like this book a lot. I think we've talked about this quite a bit.
Yeah.
This is Brian Bendis channeling. I don't know how a older man like Brian Bendis is so good at writing kids, but he is.
I think he's actually just... Costume.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's two like teenagers.
Trying to get movie tickets?
Yeah, exactly.
One day they're like, no movie tickets for your two kids, and he's like, I'm gonna try to write comics instead.
Yep. Two tiny Tims on each other's backs.
We can't walk alone, but together maybe we can buy some movie tickets.
Also, I think the art does a really good job with this kind of
David
like the
LaFuente.
Younger
LaFuente is great.
Yeah, the younger feel to the X-Men having this art kind of express that. I think is a really good fit.
Tim, what do you think about the art in this book? You have a very graphic eye.
Yeah,
I like it. I like the costumes. I like it.
Yeah, they're all in costumes. It's a Halloween sort of a masquerade ball.
Well, some people are better at doing costumes than others.
That is true. That's true.
Yeah. Well, what makes a good costume? What do you think?
Primary colors. Are you talking primary, for Halloween?
Yeah, obviously primary
colors. Well, I mean, something that I point out about this is they kind of, David LaFuente draws costumes as if they look like clothing. You know, they're not just
they're not
skin
tight.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not like painted on.
You didn't paint, draw a naked person and then color them.
Right, exactly.
But that's how I draw everything.
Yeah.
I start with a naked person, then I like add clothes, or if I'm drawing like a rock, I'll start with a naked person, then draw a rock over top of it.
The rock or a rock?
Yeah, I draw the naked rock.
Nice.
Where do you start when you draw something?
I usually start with the naked rock.
Yeah. Well, we went to the same art school, so we're trained.
We did. Yeah. Well, we found that Mouch book, yeah. And they were like, can you draw the rock naked? And then you can join our art school.
Yeah. I also like that
Fast and the Furious art school.
Yeah. All these people aren't super thin either.
They're right.
Like regular human, well, regular
beasts. Sure, some of them are beasts.
Yeah.
But yes, I see what you're saying.
Not all read about them.
Yeah, totally. This is a great book. Definitely pick it up.
Definitely pick it up.
Last one. This is my pick. Sheltered, number 2 from Image Comics.
Yeah.
Now, this is a book I actually didn't even read the first issue.
Whoa.
I know. I completely missed it, but I saw the second issue.
Real Johnny come lately.
Ended up picking it up, and it is great. Not only was I able to jump right in, but it's exciting, and it's tense, and it's awesome. The idea of the book is there's a compound of adults and kids. They have retreated from a society because they believe the apocalypse is coming. Something is going to come that's going to destroy the world. One of the kids decides, well, if the apocalypse is really coming, shouldn't we get rid of all of these old adults? And convinces everybody else to kill their own parents. And while that happens, two of the other kids are away. In this issue, they come back, find out what's happened, and are on the run for their lives. And it's awesome. It's exciting, tense. It's very bloody and violent and graphic, so if you're not looking for that, definitely don't pick this up.
Yeah.
But I was completely surprised by this issue, and I'm hardcore into the series now.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm also jumping on board with this issue. I gotta say, the cover was amazing. Such a fantastic cover. If I saw it on the shelves, I definitely would have picked it up.
Oh.
Didn't
catch your eye.
But the story was a little crazy to me that, like, it was hard a little bit to get on board because it's like, okay, world's going to end eventually. We should go live in the woods together. Okay, cool. Let's kill all the people who maybe know more than we do and know how to do things. That's where I kind of fell off a little bit. I do think this is an amazing issue. I am very excited to pick up the next one. I just was a little like, just because some blonde kid is like, hey, let's just kill the parents. Everybody's like, okay. Like I was
peer pressure, man.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
He's like a good-looking blonde kid.
Yeah.
What'd you think about this book, Justin?
Justin falls for that every time.
Every time. Joffrey on Game of Thrones. I like this book a lot. I'm not too worried about Pete being scared of the adults.
Blonde kids.
Yeah. But I thought it was great.
Guys, watch out for blonde kids. Yeah. All right.
Pete doesn't trust them. But yeah, like you're saying, it is very tense and it's scary in all the right ways.
Cool.
And I think it's good.
And very quickly, it's co-created, written, and lettered by Ed Bryson. And then it's co-created and illustrated by Johnny Christmas,
yes.
Who has my favorite name of the week.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
This is a little section we call Favorite Name of the Week.
Wow, great.
Johnny Christmas.
Talk about the fans are going to go nuts for your different favorite names. You should start a real Twitter feed for them.
Yeah, I should. Real Favorite Names. Pete LePage.
Definitely.
I hate you guys.
There we go.
That old lady that Pete slapped. See what she's got.
Slapped or slept with?
Both, I'd imagine. If I know Pete.
Yeah, we got to check out his Twitter feed because he posts all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Just slept with an old lady. Hashtag slept with an old lady.
Next thing to do on that is figure out how to post on Twitter. I'm excited.
You haven't figured it out yet?
Nope.
Wow. I'm beginning to suspect you're not the real Pete LePage.
See you in 6 months, I guess.
There we go. That's it for the stack. Now we're going to go to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Boothman.
Hi, Boothers.
How's everybody doing?
Good. Hey. You want to read a question?
Doing great.
Yeah, great. Good. I will. Sure. Have any of you guys listened to the Nerdist Comics Writers Panel?
No, fuck that shit.
Whoa.
Fuck those guys.
We'll definitely take the time to edit that out. Because that would be crazy if we left it in, yeah. Including the words I'm saying right now.
No, they got a, for those of you who don't know, I think they put this all up on YouTube at San Diego Comic Con. They did interviews with people like Grant Morrison and Jerry Duggan, who's writing Deadpool right now, and a couple of other things, bunch of other people. So they have a very cool lineup. If you want to check that out, youtube.com/nerdist.
Yeah, it is great. Their interviews are always fun. I mean, I think that's why we're a part of their network. Like, we like to do comic stuff, but also have fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this fun?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Now, this is work.
It used to be.
Wait, this is work? Oh, like, yeah. Hitting on a...
We're dating, right?
Yeah. Well, we did meet in art school, and boy, did we have a real flame.
Things went a little bit crazy.
Well, you know how your art school days are.
Yeah.
Right, Tim?
No.
Thanks for jumping on board with that.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
What is the largest non-Comic-Con all-geek crowd you've been in?
What? Whoa.
Non-Comic-Con all-geek crowd. So Comic-Con has 130,000-plus people attending. The plus is because there's people outside who don't actually go into the con, so you probably get several hundred thousand people actually head for San Diego Comic-Con.
Right.
New York Comic-Con, I think last year, does anybody know? I think it was 120 or 125,000.
125, I believe.
Right. Yeah, so it got very, very close to that San Diego Comic-Con number. That's also a Comic-Con. What? I'm just trying to figure out numbers here so we can figure out a crowd. This is like 4 to 10 people.
Yeah.
So that's pretty large.
I mean, there's definitely four here because we each have a microphone.
There you go.
Movie screenings, right?
Like, sure.
Opening of Star Wars when that came back.
I went to see Fantasia 2000 at Carnegie Hall. That counts, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's super cool, super nerdy.
Like, I've been many times to the Journalism Education Association conference.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
That's a different type of nerd.
Oh, sure. What happens there? We're going to have a crazy story about your last time.
That one is Scholastic. It's like high school journalism.
Oh, that's
high school journalism. That's
crazy.
That's where I get all my news is from high school newspapers. A lot of hard news stories coming out of there.
Yeah, most of the horrible shit that's been written about us has been in high school
newspapers. Yeah, I know. Well, I did
warning.
Real angry campaign.
Warning.
Watch out for these guys.
That's a lot of high school stories are warnings.
Yeah.
Watch out, dudes.
This seems confusing.
Yeah, well, what
and,
do you
oh,
think?
So many headlines.
What's the nerdiest thing you've seen?
Well, a free comic book day. It was pretty wild. Yeah. Big crowd at Old Midtown Comics.
Sure.
Something like that.
Like lining up for Star Wars when that came back, that was pretty...
Were you in costume?
That's a yes.
Maybe.
That's a big yes.
Does the lightsaber count?
Just holding a lightsaber?
Wait, what did you do? Okay, Phantom Menace came out. Dorkiest thing you did.
You cried.
I know. I got my tickets ahead of time, lined up. Yeah,
wow, that's crazy. The nerdiest thing was you got your tickets ahead of time.
Yeah. Nice.
Justin, what about you?
Got my lightsaber.
Oh, I ordered popcorn. That was the craziest thing I did.
Really?
Yeah. No, I didn't dress up or anything. I did show up early, like Pete. Did you do that? You must have done something.
Yeah, sure. I slept out with it.
Yeah, cool. Oh. Very romantic.
I slept out for it.
How did it go?
What did your wife
who made the first move?
Things went pretty well.
Yeah.
No, I slept out for it overnight to buy tickets. I brought an inflatable Darth Maul chair that I sat in.
Wow.
And
Darth
I
Maul
had
chair.
A stereo that played the Imperial March as we all went in.
No,
you didn't.
Oh, jeez.
No.
Yeah, I did.
I worked at a movie theater at the time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So we got to see it the night before, which was quite a big deal. So we went in, and this is at someone else's movie theater because they were screening it, but it was still AMC.
Yeah.
And this is in St. Louis. And we went... We're watching, it's fantastic, and everyone's lined up, you know, for days outside, and we're like suckers. We're in there watching, and they stop the movie at the during the main lightsaber battle.
Right.
Oh no.
Why?
They could get the people in 10 minutes earlier.
What?
Oh.
So they stopped the movie there, and I didn't know how it ended.
Oh,
have you seen it since?
Well, don't.
We shouldn't say. Let's just say that that one finishes up great, and then the next two were amazing.
Not only do they cut off the first movie early, but they forbade them from seeing the next two.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, let me just
That would have been a favor.
All the Jar Jar Binks stuff was totally worth it in those last 10 minutes. It all really comes together in just a great M. Night Shyamalan-esque moment.
And then Qui-Gon Jinn comes out and is like, by the way, we were kidding about the midichlorians thing.
That's all bullshit. Yeah,
there we go. It's bullshit.
George Lucas comes out at the end and says, sorry, this was all bullshit. Here's your money back. Thanks, guys.
Cool, there we go. I think that answers your question about what our experiences with the Phantom Menace were like. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
What creative team's run do you think was cut criminally short?
Ooh, interesting.
Criminally? Like, they
like
could
prosecutable.
Be arrested.
Like prosecutable.
Prosecutable.
Yeah.
Who do you want
to
put in jail?
Yeah, JMS ended Thor early, and I feel whoever did that should be arrested and thrown in jail.
Let's rise up as a people! I think the first one that comes to mind for me is there's a recent The Winter Soldier. Jason Latour was doing it, and man, it was so good. He only ended up doing 4 issues, and that really bummed me out. It was really going somewhere. Pete?
I'm thinking really hard on this here.
Criminally short.
Criminally short is tough because some people had like a lot of really good runs and got to end it their own way. Oh, man.
Yeah, we're looking for
Chris Claremont on X-Men.
It wasn't criminally short.
Many people say
it was
short.
Criminally long.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
It was criminally long. Short. Yeah, Stan Lee.
Stan Lee on what?
On the Spider-Man comic strip. Criminally short.
I've been arrested for the comic strip.
Yeah.
Oh,
Excelsior! It's your Generalissimo. I'm in jail.
Yeah. Tweeting at you from jail. Wait a second. Did you base real Pete LePage on the real Stan Lee?
Yep.
Oh, Pete.
Yeah, his tweets, by the way, those are like classic Stan stuff. Yeah. Like today, he was tweeting about DuckTales. No joke. You know Stan Lee is like way into DuckTales.
If you want to learn how to tweet, just retweet Stan Lee's tweets.
All right.
Because everyone loves them.
Yeah.
Criminally short?
The Roger Landridge and Chris Samnee Thor series.
That's a great answer.
That was great.
That was great.
Now, the rumor was that they actually had some of that finished, right?
Who knows? Nice. Looking at one man in particular. Yeah.
Probably the Jim Lee Batman and Boy Wonder was cut criminally short.
The Frank Miller one?
Yep.
Nobody agrees with you on that.
All right. Cool. Thomas Jane's run is the Punisher.
Oh, God, right? I right?
Yeah, that run
Dirty
I
laundry,
took the other
guys.
Day,
yeah. Huh?
That run I took the other day,
huh?
I got about as far as the donut shop, and I stopped.
I know. Yo. Whoa, what happened? I slipped into some real weird stand-up.
Oh, man.
Oh, Henny Youngman over here.
You're going to get some free comics.
I took a long walk off a short pier.
Now, before we wrap up your audience questions, Tim, I want you to think about your favorite question tonight, and I can explain why in a second. Because this section is sponsored by Tours for Fun, which is superhero tours of New York City. Mm-hmm. They'll take you around. They'll show you the sets, places where Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, X-Men, and other movies were filmed, as well as sites from the comic books as well. You could see where, Foggy Nelson goes.
Oh, yeah. I know, where he files his documents for
War. Ben Urich.
Yeah, definitely.
All your favorite characters, you can find out where they go on Tours for Fun.
You could look in the super graphic.
Slam! Undercutting the sponsor. Well, always a great move.
You can read super graphic on the tour.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. So, Tim, what was your favorite question tonight? They're going to win 2 passes to Fury for Fun, is what I wanted to say. Tours for
Fury
Fun.
I really liked the Criminally Short.
Criminally Short.
You asked that? Come see us after the show. You're going to win 2 tickets to Tours for Fun. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you both. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Oh, let's get into it. What a
week.
Yeah.
All right. First thing in The Week Geek, teased this week by Gravelmouth himself, Vin Diesel. He is suggesting on his Facebook page that maybe he might be playing the voice of Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's the perfect role for him.
Do you think so?
Yeah, it's great. He doesn't have to say more than one line.
Yeah.
He can just say that one line, and they can just ADR the shit out of it.
What do you think? You guys honestly think he's a good choice for that? Do you want... There are rumors that maybe he'd play Vision, that he might play Ultron, maybe the Wrecker or something like that. Would you rather see him as that, or would you rather see him saying, I am Groot?
That's the great thing is, like, you know, if you're saying it kind of like that, you can't really tell it's Vin Diesel, so I feel like that would be a good
I'm not Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
It actually was not Vin Diesel just now.
What?
What?
No, I know.
I am Groot.
What a great mimic.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
I mean, we all have our fantasy casting for Groot.
Right,
I'm sure here.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
what definitely. What other actors are great and tree? Yep, I've
Sharon Stone.
I sent in several audition tapes of me dressed as a tree doing another doing. Different
Could you
things.
Do the line for us?
Sure.
I am. Oh shit! How's that?
Groot.
The line?
Groot.
We'll call you. We'll call you.
Okay. Well, great. Well,
Pete, what about you? You want to do a line reading for I Am Groot?
Sure. I am Groot. Oh.
Pretty good.
That's really great
Tim,
stuff.
Tim, you want to try to audition for Groot?
I am Groot.
Oh, I think that's the best
way
so
to
far.
Underplay. It's very grounded.
That's the best Groot. So far.
Alex?
I am Groot.
Oh, that's Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel's here.
All right, well, I'll audition now.
Yeah.
I'll audition. I am Groot.
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 I sort of would rather see him be Ultron. I was excited about Vin Diesel playing Ultron. Him playing Groot is probably fun, but we're not. If you're a Vin Diesel fan, I don't know what you're going to enjoy about him as a CGI tree.
Yeah, I do think he actually has the right voice for it, right? I mean, that's kind of funny. And Groot should have different inflection. I know people have been having a lot of fun saying he's just going to say one line. But he's going to say it in different ways and mean different things.
You're an apologist.
Have you seen his Facebook page?
You know what? He's going to really try.
Have you seen his Facebook page? Like, it is inspiring.
Yeah, I know.
It's really wonderful.
He spent like a full day standing in a forest, just still.
Did he? Just studying.
Just very still. Just like letting.
Method, guys.
Just go into it. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, there was a guy that actually went up and put a tap in him and took all of his towels.
He fell down and no one heard him.
Nice. Beast falls in the woods. Does anyone give a shit?
Whoa.
Moving on to another little bit of Guardians of the Galaxy news. The footage shown at D23 of Guardians of the Galaxy actually leaked onto YouTube, much to the shock of literally nobody. Did you guys get a chance to check this out? And if so, what did you think?
I didn't want any spoilers. I didn't want to watch the leaked footage. I wanted to stay fresh for the movie. I'm going to wait.
I saw a lot of the stills they did, and I didn't watch the whole clip, but I think that...
The whole clip? Cool. It's like 10 seconds.
I know. Yeah. I just saw all the stills.
You didn't have that kind of time.
Yeah, no. I'm a busy man. I got to get out
of here. When they put the stills together, they move. That's
what?
The clip.
No, they're called stills, so they don't move.
Like,
it's like Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Right. Stills doesn't move.
Stills never moves. Yeah. He's like Groot.
Stills.
I am Stills.
I'd
love
Stills.
To see Vin Diesel play Stills.
In Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, exactly. Just be the Stills. But the NovaCore stuff, I thought, looked a little cheesy in the... I'm turning the conversation totally to the Stills. But it looks pretty cheesy. I was surprised.
No. Well, there was a bunch of stuff released also showing the NovaCore. Yeah. They have... I mean, getting back to our closed discussion, I don't know if you saw these stills, is what you call them?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the non-moving things. They're very loose. They're not form-fitting Nova costumes. They look kind of like cops. They're wearing pants, they're wearing shirts, and
they're wearing
helmets
pants.
On.
Here's the news, they're wearing pants.
Yeah.
And the helmets.
I will say, I did peek at the footage, and I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah.
I had read the description of it when it came out at Comic-Con. I wasn't too inspired by what they described. But watching it, it looks really cool, particularly Drax. Totally looks like Drax and moves like Drax, and it's awesome. Rocket Raccoon looks like Rocket Raccoon. It's crazy that they have a raccoon firing a gun on screen.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And it was funny, too.
Yeah.
There were jokes that I had read that just didn't hit the right way, and watching it, they totally hit the right way.
Yeah.
I hope they officially release that footage soon.
Yeah.
There we go.
I am Bruce.
Next thing to talk about, D23, as we mentioned, was this past weekend. There wasn't a lot of news out of it, but they did announce that the first Marvel character is going to be interacting in a Disney theme park kind of way, which is Captain America appearing on Disney cruises.
Oh.
So what do you guys think? This is the first time, of course, that Captain America has cruised. But are you excited to head out and interact with Cap on the high seas?
I mean, what a great person to be on a cruise ship with.
Yeah.
I would love to just get a
real buzzkill.
A real fun, like, volleyball game with Cap. Just sun myself, order one too many margaritas with old Captain America. Think of the fun.
What do you think, Tim? Is Captain America on a cruise ship going to make you sign up for a cruise?
No, but who else would they have used, right? Like, they couldn't have done the Hulk.
I mean, who
they
would
done
you
Iron Man?
Who would you want to hang out with?
Why wouldn't they have Iron Man? Iron Man totally makes sense.
Why? Well, it'd
be so hot.
That's shut up.
Sure.
Be a
Tony Stark. How about somebody dressed as Tony Stark?
Wow.
Robert Downey Jr. on a cruise.
How about if there was a drunk guy on a cruise?
Yeah.
What about that? I'm just spitballing here.
Oh, I played that part before.
Have you?
One of my favorite
Steve
roles.
Rogers would make sense because he's the same age as all the old people.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's true.
He wants to have dinner at the same time.
Yeah. They can talk about all that old big band swing. Mm-hmm. And isn't that super fun?
Yeah.
I don't know. This seems... How much interaction? It's not like they sit down for dinner.
Sometimes.
Right? Captain America just comes in
and
says...
I don't know. There's... they've also... It's specifically for kids. I don't know if you know kids.
Really? You think?
Yeah, it's for kids.
I don't know.
They have an Avengers Academy area of the cruise ship where kids can hang out. It's set up like a SHIELD helicarrier, and you can hang out with Captain America there.
Did you say Avengers Academy or Avengers Arena?
Avengers Academy.
Two kids enter, one kid leaves.
Yeah. Captain America just oversees the murdering.
Yeah, I wonder, because there's been a lot of rumors about the second Cap movie, and now the Cap is in S.H.I.E.L.D., that apparently there's some stuff going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. He ends up beating up a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. So I wonder if the kids get there. Cap at first is like sort of shadily looking at them and then kicks their butts.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Interesting choice. Yeah.
It's a cruise. There's no way of escaping.
Yeah, exactly. International waters, anything goes.
Yep.
Kids find Captain America like want to go hang out with that man. What kid does that?
What kid wouldn't want to hang out with Captain America?
Honestly, of the choices from the Captain America movie, I feel like kids like Stanley Tucci way more. Kids are crazy into Stanley Tucci.
A lot of kids that are Tucci, nuts for Tucci. Tucci tattoos.
Well, you go
Tucci
to their fan site, nutsfortucci.com.
That's a Twitter feed.
And that's it for the Week in Geek!
Oh, nuts
guys,
for Tucci.
We're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to the real Pete LePage. We have a hand already raised right over there.
Yeah.
Pete, I don't want to interrupt you, but over there.
Come on up. First hand up. Yeah. Wow. That was impressive. I don't even have to give the speech of what we're doing. That was awesome. What is your name? Come on up on the stage. Emma, audience, Emma. Here, grab that microphone over there.
Take this mic, Emma.
All right, Emma, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three of them right, and you will win $25 free. All right. So, this week in comics, so all of these questions for stuff that came out this week. First one, if you were paying attention, you'll get this. In the all-new X-Men number 15, thank you, Boothman. Jean Grey accidentally reads whose mind? Is it A, Old Beast, B, Young Beast, or is it C, Bazooka Joe?
Young Beast.
Or you could go with A, Old Beast.
Or A.
A is correct.
Old Beast.
Well played.
I mean, it's the same person, Pete, so.
It is. Technically, yeah.
She was right the first time.
She was right all the time.
You were wrong.
All right, let's not be a dick about this. Question number two. In Trillion Number One, it is billed as the blank love story ever told. Is it A, the best love story ever told? B, the last love story ever told? Or C, Hubba Bubba? Last love story ever told. So it's either B, which is the correct answer, or you could pick A, which we don't advise that you do.
I'm having such a hard time, guys.
Trust your instincts.
Pick B.
B.
Yeah! It's billed as the last love story ever told.
Bubba, she got it right.
All right, last question.
Bubba Bubba says B.
In Abe Sapien number 5, Abe is able to figure some things out after he blank. Is it A, takes a swim, B, fight somebody, or C, big league chew? So it's either A, takes a swim.
Grammatically.
Shut up.
You're just saying gum.
I am. Thank you for doing it.
Hubba Bubba, he's a mistake.
So pick A, and then this madness will be over.
A.
A is correct. He takes a swim.
Congratulations.
$25 free. Thank you very much.
Oh, great work. Hubba Bubba, we did it again. Let's move on.
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you what. I know what your first tweet should be.
Oh, man.
Oh, thanks so much, Juicy Pete.
Yeah. Juicy Pete is gonna move ya.
So as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
So nice.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking for Saga number 13. I cannot wait.
Great cliffhanger from last time. And tell us about it.
Oh, I don't know what's going to happen.
No?
No.
No one does. The book's been on sabbatical for, what, 2 months?
Yeah, I know what's going to happen. I read it.
You're an asshole.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's
no
great.
No one wants to hear it.
I'll tell you what. It picks up in a place you wouldn't expect. That's all I'll say.
Oh, great. Wow. Thanks.
Oh, man.
No problem.
I'm looking forward to Avengers Arena, also number 13, I believe. Great book. They just started to maybe tease out some of the bigger secrets going on in the Murder Island, and we'll see what's happening.
Murder World?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Astro City number 3 is coming out. I got to be honest, I never really read a whole lot of the old Astro City book, which I know is a huge shame. I know it's a fantastic. I only read a couple of them, but I've been reading the new series, and it is so good.
I agree with you. I actually really like it, and I'm in the same boat. I didn't read the earlier stuff.
It's great. And the first issue did not connect with the second issue. I'm actually really hoping that the third issue, again, doesn't connect. It's great. It's just these really cool stories in an entirely different superhero world. It's excellent. Tim, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Savage Dragon number 190.
Oh, yeah.
I had the pleasure to speak to Eric Larson at the Image Expo a couple months ago, and he was explaining about some of the cool storytelling techniques that he was going to be doing for this arc, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how those play out.
Cool.
Awesome. Cool. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
What stuff?
Super Graphic.
Oh, my book. Super Graphic.
Oh, boy.
Get Super Graphic.
Yeah, just any stuff. What do you like to eat? What did you have for lunch?
Yeah, you should check out Super Graphic at your local bookstore, comic book store, Amazon, Chronicle Books, Urban Outfitters, Barnes & Noble.
Nice. Urban Outfitters. Skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
Probably. All over Victoria's
and
Secret.
And check out that cool website.
Yeah.
Really loving his website.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, definitely.
TimLeon.com, super-graphic.com, supergraphic.tumblr.com.
Oh, so many web. This guy's a web entrepreneur.
Speaking of web entrepreneurs, Pete, anything you want to plug?
Yes, friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
And follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, youtube.com/Nerdist for our movie show, Biggest Summer Ever. Just put off our review of Elysium.
Yeah.
So that's there now. You can chat with us in the comment section, and we'll have The World's End coming up very soon. So
yes,
that should
indeed
be pretty cool. We also want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tamar Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Tenicella, and Riley Trahan. We also want to thank a couple of other people. We want to thank Tim Leong for being on the show. Boot Man. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in New York City. Totally free. Please tell your friends. And Booth Man, read a book.
Booth Man,
read
a
fucking book.
Hubba Bubba, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.